sure that most of us have before now been asked to fill in one of those forms in which we're asked to define ourselves according to certain categories. We might be asked our nationality, our ethnic origin, and on the form you get that long list, don't we, of possibilities, and you must select the one that is appropriate to you, to which you belong. I remember actually when we lived in Cornwall, we had a reform back from the children's school, and it made it clear that now, in addition to all that long list of possibilities, you can actually put Cornish as your child's ethnic origin. It was added to the list, and that's one way, isn't it? Of nationality, ethnic origin. Another way is age. You get those lists of age categories, and you're asked which one you belong to, and it's always quite a depressing exercise, isn't it, when you realise you've just slipped into the next one up. So these are common ways of categorising people by nationality, ethnic origin, age, and there are many, many other ways as well, aren't there? If you've ever filled in one of those, those household surveys that you sometimes receive through the post, well, you'll know that in a statistics office not far from here, you may be categorised according to the size of your family, the size of your house, the type of car you drive, the type of newspapers you read, and of course much, much more besides. It's certainly the case, isn't it, given any company of people, whether it be a congregation like this or the population of this nation, it's possible to divide that company of people up into any number of different categories. I'm sure those who send out those surveys have good reason for doing so. The statistics, once collated, I'm sure, are interesting and informative. But this evening, not as a result of some completed questionnaires, but because the Word of God tells us so, I can say to you that when it comes to the most important matter of where we are and where we are going, spiritually speaking, the entire human race can be divided up into just two categories. Just two. You just think of that. The whole mass of mankind, all people of all times, all people of all places, yes, you could divide them up into countless different categories if nationality, ethnicity, age, income, numerous other criteria were brought into consideration. And yet, as you turn to the Word of God, you find this to be true, that there are fundamentally two distinct groups, and everyone, yes, everyone, falls into one of them. We read about these two groups in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14. Turn there in your Bibles. Here are some of these wonderful words that the Lord Jesus preached as part of his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Where Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In the Authorized Version, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks here of two ways, and all people everywhere are on one of these two ways, having entered upon such through one of two gates. Now, people sometimes speak, don't they, of life as a path we tread, as a road we travel. We speak, don't we, about life's journey, the journey of life. And that's the sort of language, that's the type of illustration that the Lord Jesus was employing on this occasion. But whereas people tend to think of everyone's paths as being different, you know what people say, you have your own individual road to travel. According to Jesus, there really are just two roads. And so however much people's lives may differ, and of course people's lives do differ, a person's life experience will be unique to them, yet fundamentally everyone is walking on one of these two ways. Now, none of this might seem to matter to you. So there are two ways, you think, so what? Were it not for the fact that these two ways lead to two very different, two vastly different destinations. The destination of the one, the narrow way, entered upon through the narrow gate is life. That's what it leads to. But the destination of the other, the broad way entered upon by the wide gate, is destruction. So the one leads to a delightful destination, the other to a dreadful destination. The one has a wonderful end, doesn't it? The other has a woeful end. And this should raise a question in our minds. It should force a question. To which category do I belong? Which way am I on? And therefore, which destination am I headed for? Because, you see, this is too important an issue to duck, my friends. This really is a matter of life and death. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So in these two verses we have these two categories of people, two crowds if you like, who haven't entered through two gates or on two roads leading to two destinations. The contrast between the two couldn't be greater. Wide versus narrow, destruction versus life, many versus few. And I just want us this evening to consider the contrast between these two, and we can do that by asking two questions. Firstly, what are these two ways like? And secondly, where do these two ways lead? Firstly, what are these two ways like? And secondly, where do these two ways lead? So firstly, what are these two ways like? Well, the way you can picture them here is very visual, this, isn't it? On the one hand, there is this wide gate leading onto a wide way, a broad road. Some translate it as easy. The gate is wide and the way is easy. And on the other hand, there's this narrow gate leading onto a narrow way. Now, it's worth pointing out that the AV uses the word straight. That doesn't mean straight as in a straight line, straight ahead. It means narrow. And it's a word we tend to use today when we're talking about a narrow shipping channel, like the Strait of Gibraltar. You know, that narrow passage at the western end of the Mediterranean. It's straight in that sense, narrow, tight. We should also take note of the fact that the word for narrow, in the narrow way of verse 14 here, is related to a word meaning tribulation. In other words, this way is, as some translate it, is hard. It's a hard way. The narrow way is a hard way. The narrow way is a way of affliction, even persecution. So what the Lord Jesus is portraying for us here is a wide gate leading onto a broad way. There's something easy about this route. It's nice and wide. It's easy to get on. And it's easy to stay on. You see, wide roads tend to be easier to travel, don't they? I know many of you have visited Cornwall before now. So you will know what I mean when I talk about Cornish lanes. You know what I mean by Cornish lanes? We lived in Cornwall for 10 years and it was always interesting. And if I'm honest, it was very frustrating sometimes to watch the visitors from what we used to say from up country. The visitors from up country trying to negotiate the narrow Cornish lanes that are often just a car's width wide. Most of those drivers you used to look at would, I'm sure, have opted any day for a good A road or a motorway, because wider roads are easier to travel, aren't they? So the Lord Jesus, he describes this wide way. It's easy. And because it's easy, it's bustling with people. Those who enter by it, by the wide gate that leads onto it, are many, he says. It's well populated. Lots of people are travelling this road. Whereas the other way he speaks of is narrow. Far from being easy. Easy to enter upon travel. There's something restrictive about this route. And you sometimes see those road signs, don't you, telling you that the way ahead is narrow, warning you. Therefore, the use of it is restricted to certain smaller vehicles. Well, this is a restricted route that the Lord Jesus is talking about here. There's a narrow gate at the start of it, and thereafter the way remains narrow and it remains hard. And in marked contrast to the broad way, those who find this narrow way, Jesus says, are few. So this is what these two ways are like. So how about in your mind, a picture of what the Lord is describing here. The two gates, one wide, one narrow. The two ways that you enter by these gates. One wide and easy, one narrow and hard. And the relative busyness of these two ways. The one has many travelling on it, and the other seemingly few. What does the Lord mean by these things? What are the spiritual lessons that he would have us learn from his description here of these two contrasting ways? Well, to begin with, as I said earlier, we are all on one of these two ways. You are on one of these two ways tonight. Now, it's all very trendy amongst the politicians today, isn't it, to talk about a third way. Oh, there's a third way. We don't want to be aligned with those on the right or left. No, there's a third way. There is no third way here. There are two ways, and every one of us, all people of all times, all people of all places, are on one of these two ways. The entire mass of mankind can be divided amongst these two categories. Those people who are on the wide way and those people who are on the narrow way. And let's be clear about that. Let me tell you something else. And in saying this, I'm only telling you what the Word of God tells you. We all begin life on the same way. We all begin life on the wide way. For the wide way is the way of sin. And we all come into this world as sinners. We read in Isaiah 53, 6 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. That verse embraces us all. We've all gone astray. We've gone astray in our thoughts, haven't we? Isn't our thinking corrupted by sin? We've gone astray in our language. We've gone astray in our actions. We've gone astray in our attitudes. We've wandered far from where we should be. Where should we be? Well, we should be with God. We should be in fellowship with him, obeying and enjoying the Lord our Creator. That's the position that man was created to. But instead of being in such a blessed position, we've all like sheep gone astray, living these lives of deliberate disobedience. We've gone astray, turned each one to his own way. And no one man's way may outwardly appear different to the next man's. They are essentially all the same. They're all going in the same direction. They're all away from God. There's God, and there's man in his sin. He's back to him, walking away. It's a wide way. That's a broad way. That's so well populated because every one of us is born onto it. Along this route, everyone is or once was making his own way on this way away from God. And that's why you might think of this as being an easy way. It's easy because you're already on it. You'd have to do anything to enter onto it, for that wide gate draws every person through it initially. And once you're on the wide way, it's easy for you to remain on it. You want to stay on it, you just carry on as you are. Just carry on in your sinful way of living. And you will stay on the wide way. There's plenty of room on this route, isn't there? It's wide. There's room for all your sin. It's wide. And your proud thoughts, your lustful looks, your lying words, your selfish deeds, you can take them all with you when you go this way, because there are no restrictions. There's plenty of room to wander in your sin. Plenty of company to wander with. You can wander to this side of the way and that side with this person here and that person there. You can wander to your heart's content, but remember all the time, you are wandering away from God. Your back is turned against him, against his holy and just nature. Of course, the other thing that makes this way easy is that apart from the fact that everyone is born onto it, and to stay on it, you just carry on as you are with all your sin. Well, just the other thing that makes it easy is so many other people are travelling this way as well. You know, because people like to feel they're part of the crowd, don't they? It's often perceived as being better than being in the minority. Well, you know, there's no danger of you being in the minority if you stay on this way. You look around you, it's heaving with people, Jesus says. It's busy, it's bustling. You look at that other way, that narrow way, with seemingly so few on it. Well, you're with the crowd here. You're with the majority. This is an easy way. It's a comfortable way. Now you look at that narrow way. Look at the people on it were once themselves on this wide way. But then they found this narrow gate leading onto this narrow and hard way. That narrow gate is a tight squeeze. It's restrictive. Now the way, the road that you enter upon as you pass through that gate, it isn't any wider. It's not one of those tight gates that then leads onto some wide way. No, the narrow gate leads onto a narrow way. It's equally narrow and difficult with it. Sometimes you see a sign, don't you, at an entrance, restricted access, and it then might state who is allowed to enter. Well, there's such a sign on this narrow gate. Who can enter onto this narrow way? Who can pass through this gate? Let me tell you, it's only those who no longer want to cling to their sin. It's those who realize before God the error of their ways, that they sin before God, a holy God and a just God, a God who is angered by sin. They failed their Creator. Their thinking has been foolish all this time since I came into the world and walking away from Him. That's what you need to enter through this narrow gate. Entrance through the narrow gate is restricted to the repentant. Those who know they're sinners, who know that they spent their life away from God, but would now turn back to Him, seeking His forgiveness for their sins, believing in the one He has so graciously sent to deal with sin. Even the one who preached this sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ. See the gateway onto this narrow way. Our repentance and faith in Christ. The things we're talking about this morning, if you were here. There's no room. There's no room for sinful pride. Perhaps some of us have before now tried to... You ever tried to fit through a narrow gap before now? Only to find you couldn't without sort of discarding certain items of clothing or baggage. I heard recently about some potholer who got stuck underground trying to get through a narrow gap. And they had to lose the baggage they were carrying to see themselves through. So it is with this narrow gate, my friends. The baggage of our own good works, the clothing of our own self-righteousness which we've clung to today, many of us. Oh, I think I can get my to heaven. I'm good enough to get to heaven. Oh, no, that all must be left behind if you would get through this narrow gate. These things are nothing. These things count for nothing. And must be left behind if you would fit through this narrow gate. A big head won't fit through this gate. Proud man won't fit through this gate. It's not those who walk with a haughty spirit, but a humble spirit who can enter through. Those who acknowledge that they are at best undeserving sinners, but Christ has died to save them. And they enter through knowing that once through the gate, the way ahead is, it's no wider than the gate itself. The way is narrow and the way is hard. The things of the world that the people of the world cling to, they can no longer be clung to by those walking this way. There isn't room for them. All the things that the people of this world hold dear to, all the things that they attach themselves to, all the things that they take along, the baggage, there's no room for it on this narrow way. No, these things are to be counted as loss for the sake of Christ and left behind at the gate. Believing in Jesus, following Jesus is a hard way. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, this way is not a walk in the park. It's the way of the cross. It's not walking with the majority, one of the crowd. It means to be hated. It means to be persecuted by the world. The Lord Jesus never said it would be any different to those who would walk this way. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. He's so honest. We talked about that at Bible study, how honest the Lord Jesus always always was. You're going to have tribulation. It's a hard way. You'll be hated. You'll be persecuted. His servants preached that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And so you see, this is a narrow way. No room for pride. No room for you to take all your own self-righteousness through. All must be left behind through that gate. And once on that way, it's a hard way. So it's a way of following Jesus, and it's a way of the cross. And perhaps you're asking, well, why? Why would anyone choose this narrow and hard way over the wide and easy way? Why would anyone choose tribulation and affliction and persecution and hardship if you don't have to? Well, we've looked at what these ways are like, but let's turn our attention to where these ways lead. For that answers that question, why? Why choose the narrow way over the wide way? Well, we said, what are these two ways like? Just think briefly about where do these two ways lead? Read to you again the Lord's words. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And in a sense, really, I don't think I have to say much else to you, do I? For it's so clearly spelt out by the Lord Jesus here. These two ways that are entered on through two gates are not ends in themselves, but as you would expect from a way, they lead somewhere. And that wide way, it's so easy to travel. You're on it. You can take anything on it. You can do anything on it. But it leads to destruction. Whereas that narrow way, yes, hard, afflicting, persecution, but it leads ultimately to life. I'm sure you'd agree, you cannot get two more different destinations than that. I mean, imagine if you got on a plane thinking you were heading for Australia, but somehow ended up in Alaska, or if you got on a plane thinking you were heading for Africa and ended up in Antarctica. The destinations you might think couldn't be any more different, yet they could. For the difference between the life and the destruction spoken of here by the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than anything you could experience or imagine in this life. This is the difference between heaven and hell. The life is eternal life. With God in paradise, the destruction is eternal death in hell. For the inhabitants of heaven, sin is a thing of the past. All the sin has been forgiven by God. God himself having taken the punishment for their sin when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. So sin's a thing of the past for the inhabitants of heaven. But for those in hell, sin is never forgotten. For they spend every moment of every day for all eternity enduring the punishment that their sin deserves. These two destinations couldn't be any more different. They're at opposite ends of an enormous infinite spectrum. So you have to say that this wide and easy way, yes it is, but it leads to hell. But this narrow way and this hard way leads to heaven. That's what God promises those who take this way. You know, some people say, don't they, the Lord Jesus promised all these things. You hear those saying, he promised health and he promised wealth. The Lord Jesus never promised any of that to his people, those who followed him. The Lord Jesus promised that he would get you to heaven. That if you follow him, you will go to heaven. He actually said, the way there for you will be hard, but he will get you to heaven, and he will get you there for eternity. When this world comes to an end, those who have glibly trotted along that wide and easy way will be given over to destruction. Whereas those who have trodden this narrow and hard way will inherit eternal life. Now, how should this affect the way you think about these two ways? Let me tell you what Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said. No man in his wits would choose to go to the gallows because it is a smooth, pleasant way to it, nor refuse the offer of a palace and a throne because it is a rough, dirty way to it. Yet such absurdities as these are men guilty of in the concerns of their souls. See what he's saying? And he's saying, who in their right mind would say, oh, I'll go to the gallows because it's an easy way to it, and give up going to a palace because it's a hard way to it? You wouldn't do it, would you? And yet when it comes to this matter of where your soul will spend eternity, you're willing to take the absurd route, to choose a wide and easy way that's going to lead to destruction, instead of this narrow and hard way, which is but for a season, and yet will lead you to eternal life. Are you guilty of such an absurdity? You know, perhaps the way you're taking at the moment, it seems right to you. Well, is that a reason for you sticking to it? Let me quote you from God's Word, Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It's no good thinking about what seems right to you. Your thinking is corrupted by your sin. You need to listen to what God has to say to you. And he's pointing you to this other way, this way that he's provided, the narrow way to life. And even though many others are taking this wide way, is that sufficient reason for you to? Must you always follow the crowd? Is it so important that you are one of the majority? Do you have to do what is fashionable? Bishop J.C. Ryle, another Bible commentator, said, repentance and faith in Christ and holiness of life have never been fashionable. And they haven't. But repentance and faith in Christ and holiness of life are the way to heaven. Remember, to be one of the crowd here means to be one of the crowd in hell. It is through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. But isn't the fact that we do enter the kingdom of God, that doesn't that make those tribulations worthwhile? You remember those Cornish lanes I spoke about? Narrow, difficult to travel. I can think of many of them. In my mind now, I can picture many of them that I've driven over the years. Such a squeeze. The roads were rough. The lanes were narrow. They were difficult to drive. Let me tell you something. They usually ended up somewhere glorious. Think of one now. It was steep and it was narrow. It was a real clutch burner to drive. And yet when you came to the end of it, it broke out into a beautiful beach with white sands and blue sea. How much more so? How much more so? This narrow and hard way will break out for you one day in heaven itself, in paradise itself, forever with the Lord. This is the way for you to take. Jesus himself appeals with you. Can't you hear it in his voice? Listen to how he begins here. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. There's a pleading, isn't there, as we sung here? He's pleading with your heart. Even before he describes the difference between the narrow and the wide way, he appeals to you to enter by the narrow gate. Will you refuse? Will you reject his appeal to you this evening? He's pleading with your soul again. Softly pleading with your soul, enter through the narrow gate. He wants you to live.
He wants you to be with him forever. He doesn't want your soul to go to hell. Beware of rejecting him. Beware of rejecting him. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 that those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Why would you choose the end of this destruction when he offers you an end of this life? Why would you walk to the gallows when he offers you a palace? Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Yes, few it may seem at any one time. But not few in total. If you go to that last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 7 verse 9, you read of John's vision of heaven, and there we're told he saw a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All those people, representatives from every nation. Oh, whilst here upon earth, you could have put them into any number of different categories if you had wanted to class them according to nationality, ethnicity, age, income, etc. They have all this in common. They left the wide way by the grace of God. And they walked the narrow way. And that way took them to heaven to surround the throne of God. Now I want to ask you in closing, will you one day be amongst them? Will you one day be amongst them? Because you won't if you stay on the wide way. Your end is destruction. That's where you're going. And I urge you tonight, discard your pride. Leave it behind at the gate. Get rid of it. And in true repentance and faith, enter through the narrow gate onto the narrow way that will take you to life, that will take you to heaven, that will take you one day to join that great crowd which no one can number, who will be forever with the Lord. Which way are you on at the moment? Which way should you be on? Why go to the gallows when the Lord offers you a palace? Why head for destruction when tonight he pleads with you again? Enter through the narrow gate. He offers you life eternal. He's pleading with you tonight, as we sang earlier, hearken to his invitation, to the music of God's grace. Amen.